Well, good morning, everyone. I am definitely excited to get the opportunity to speak with you. And you might know a little bit more about me when I'm done this morning, which I hope that's going to be a good thing. But if you bear with me for a quick few moments here, let me give you a little bit of about myself. I am currently a highway worker for Crawford County, which my main responsibilities is I get to mow the ditches for the county roads on the east side. Man, that's a good job. I really enjoy that. And then that's of the summer months. The winter months, I get to ride around in the patch truck, patching all the potholes that you may encounter. And along with that, we plow snow. I get to repair mailboxes, put up new signs that all get taken out, and whatever else comes along. I've worked at Crawford County since May of 2021, and I get to work alongside our own Chris Ruth, who is the west side ditch mower. So if you're on the west side and the ditches look a little rough, I apologize. He tries his best. But we do get to keep each other in check because we're in the patch truck all winter long. So I enjoy working with Chris. He's become a really good friend of mine. But prior to working for Crawford County, I had many jobs. And I have a quick list that, let me just run down with this. Starts off, I was a farm hand. I was a cook at Pizza Hut. I worked at Temkin. I was a Kirkpatrick Church of Christ youth minister. When I was in college at Kentucky Christian College, I was an RA, resident assistant. I was the head RA for the largest boys' dorm. I was also a kitchen worker there. I was also electrician's assistant. I was the youth minister for the Foxport Church of Christ. I was the associate minister at the Dive Christian Church. I was a substitute bus driver for Bedford North Lawrence School Systems. I was a substitute paper delivery guy for Bedford Times Mail. I worked as a maintenance worker for the Fred Newsom Properties at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. I was a youth minister for the Mount Gilead Exempted Schools. I was a substitute bus driver. I was a safety town sheriff. I was a janitor. I was a full-time bus driver. I was also a lawnmower. I was also a trooper for the state of Ohio. I've worked at Whirlpool as a forklift operator. At Arcticat Distribution Center, I was a shipping computer operator, a forklift operator, and I worked in their special accounts. And I'm still wondering, what am I going to be when I grow up? When I grow up, when exactly is somebody grown up? So how does it all get started? It is all the same for each of us. Before the foundations of the world were laid and in a quiet expanse of eternity, God considered the emptiness and decided to fill it with light and life. Among the vast expanse of the universe and galaxies, a specific thought emerged, a decision to create you. There was much thought behind the time and place you would be brought into existence. God decided to make you a masterpiece, someone to care for the world, to write poems, solve problems, and laugh. Most of all, he created you to know him and be loved by him exactly as you are. We are told that God knit us together in our mother's womb. Psalms 139 verses 1 through 16 says this: O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is light to you. You created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knew us even before our parents did. He had the foreknowledge about me and knew when, where, and how my existence should come about. And he knew yours. He picked your parents. Now I know that there are some of you here who may not have known a parent. Maybe you had what people would call a not good family. There could have been a missing parent, an abusive parent, or something that made your family different from the family unit that God had originally planned. Well, that is where Satan steps in. He only wants to steal, kill, and destroy what God does. God's plans are perfect. In the last 2,000 years or so since Jesus died, Satan has been hard at work corrupting God's plan. If you come from a broken home, know that God can take the hurts that you have experienced and use them to help others who may be going through the same. I say, though, that God placed me in a wonderful home. He then made me even more special by giving me a twin brother, which has been quite fun. I won't speak for him, but I'm sure he would agree that Mom and Dad did a great job raising us. The best thing that they did for us was carry us into a church as soon as they could and introduce us to our God and our Savior. I wonder how different my life would be if God and Jesus were not always a part of my life. I never had that big rebellious stage of life that Jesus had to come and rescue me from. Maybe God knew that about me and that I would need extra care, and I thank him for placing me in my parents' arms and keeping me safe. We all have such unique origin stories and how God saw for each of us to come about. I'm blessed that mine has always had God in it. God is working in each one of our lives. He has a plan, a good plan for each of us. One that will see us want to fully rely on him. As we grow, the next step would be in our lives would be starting school. For some parents, this can be as important a step as any. Deciding who they are going to entrust to daily caring for their child. Some parents move to different locations so that they can allow for the best schools possible. Others choose to send to a private school where they hope they get the best education. I just got to go to the school in the district where we lived, which is all right. That was Colonel Crawford. Mom says that I really enjoyed school until she said I had to go back tomorrow. I had many great teachers, and I began attending Whetstone Elementary in 1981. I was there through fifth grade. Then I moved to the old high school for middle school, and then on to the old high school, or what's left of it, for high school. 13 of the longest and quickest years, well, longest and quickest at the time. I graduated in 1994, smack dab in the middle of the class ranking. There I am. That car still sits in front of my house. As I was working on what I wanted to say this morning, I took about 5 minutes, and I sat there and tried to just go through and list all the teachers I've had from kindergarten through high school. Now, do you think elementary, middle school, or high school have been the easiest? That's right. Elementary was the easiest. I don't know why. I know all those elementary teachers. I enjoyed that. But as I look back at the list of teachers, I can see many good people. Many of them were godly people being used to make me who God needed me to be. Graduates, don't take for granted the people who have helped you get this far. Even some of the teachers that you didn't like, one day I'm sure you'll look back and see that they were really doing a great job. I hope that you will stop and look back over these last 13 years and ask God to show you all the ways that He was working in your life through the teachers and people that He's placed in your life. So what does God have in store for you next? God's plan for you is centered on spiritual growth, purpose, and service rather than just a specific checklist for a career. It focuses on developing your character, using your unique talents to love others, and trusting Him through life's transitions. Billy Graham once was asked by a recent graduate, "How am I to know what's right in dealing with the future plans and decisions, and the pressure from parents or friends to make a decision?" He had a good response. He says, "The most important advice I can give you is to seek God's will for your life. After all, He made you and knows all about you, and He also knows what's best for you. More than that, He loves and wants you to discover His perfect plan for you. Don't panic, therefore, or do the first thing that comes to mind. Instead, commit your future and your whole life to Jesus Christ, asking Him to come into your life and guide you. He may not tell you where you'll be in 10 years from now. You don't need to know that right now. But He will help you know the next step you will need to take. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. College isn't for everyone, and it may not be right for you. However, education is important in today's complicated world, and you may want to consider a local community college or technical institute either now or later. Get to know your abilities also. Vocational testing may help you do this." He says, "Above all, make it your goal to follow Christ throughout your life. Even more important than what you'll do is what kind of person you'll be. Make the Bible your daily guide, because your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." That's some good advice when you stop and think about it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 is what said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Trust in the Lord. Put our faith in Him wholeheartedly. Lean not on our own understanding. Don't put our way of interpreting things above God. The double attitude of trust and distrust finds expression in acknowledging Him in all our ways. That is, ordering our conduct under a constant consciousness of His presence, in accordance with His will, and in dependence on His help. Such a relationship with God will certainly, and with no exceptions, allow Him to direct our paths, which means that He will be not only our guide, but also our road maker, showing us the way and clearing obstacles from it. A calm certitude or confidence in a willingness to accept God's will, and whoever seeks only to go where God sends him will neither be left doubtful rather he should go, nor will he find his road blocked. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." Have you ever gone on a cave tour? I've been on a few, and there's usually a place where everyone is on flat ground, and the guide tells you, "Okay, get ready," and the lights go out. Total darkness, no light whatsoever. Without a source of light, all that we could do is just grope around in the dark trying to find something. God's word is a lamp. John 1, verses 1 through 5 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was the life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Here we see that the Word is part of God that has always been from the beginning. In Genesis 1:1, we can see that in the beginning, God created. Well, John here is saying that during creation, the Word already was there, and even before our creation began. Jesus is the Word, and that Word became flesh to dwell among us. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the lamp for our feet, and he will light our path. As we seek to follow his ways, our spiritual growth will allow us to see what our purpose is in his plan. Do you have a calling? What is it that God is calling you to do? In middle school, I thought my calling was to be a mortician. For a small window even, I thought that I should go into full-time ministry. By my freshman year in high school, though, I had looked at the plan and I started seeking to be a mortician. When asked what I was going to do, that's what I told people. And most everyone at school would gasp and say, why? Well, I always told them their answer is why. They're not going to be able to do it, and I figured a robot or a computer would not be able to replace that particular job. So that's what I was going to do. Through high school, that was the plan, and I even did a shadowing one day with Jeff Coker at the Wise Funeral Home. My plan after high school would be 2 years at Mansfield OSU, then transfer down to Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science. Don Kelly was my home minister at the Kirkpatrick Church of Christ, and he had a funeral at the Hughes Allen Funeral Home in Marion, and afterwards he spoke with the director, whose name I can't remember, and said, hey, I've got a guy in church who's looking to go into this profession. Do you have any work he could do? Well, the fella said, I do. So Don told me, and I called him up and set up an interview for a Thursday afternoon. And we spoke about what kind of help they needed. And he said that if I would like the position, that they would do everything they could to help me get things taken care of, that I could transfer to Marion OSU. There was an apartment at the back of the funeral home. I could use that to stay in, so I didn't have to drive back and forth to Bucyrus with school and work. And it seemed like a really good thing. God was showing me that here's my start. The plan was all laid out, and all I had to do was call the guy back up on Monday and let him know, did I want the job? So now, it's late afternoon on that Thursday, and my mind is in a whirl. I'm excited about something, but something feels off. I guess I then drive out to Ridgedale High School and spoke with Laura. She was still a senior in high school, and told her, I don't think God wants me to be a mortician. That was a strange answer. I go home, talk to my mom and dad, and I tell them the same thing. I call up Don Kelly, and I ask to speak with him. And we set up a time on Friday. He and I, we get together, and we talk about the different choices that I have. And he listened to what the offer was to work at the funeral home and thought it sounded pretty good. And I just had a real big knot in my stomach about it. And I could see where God was fully involved in this opportunity. For me, for the past 4 years in high school and a semester of college, I'd been preparing for this, but something was just unsettling about it. I told Don that something in me said this was the time, and I expressed my thoughts of a possible full-time ministry as well. He listened to me for about 45 minutes, and we talked. We had a good bit of time of prayer. And the decision was made that I would transfer to Kentucky Christian College the next fall and begin my pursuit into full-time ministry. I felt good about that decision, yet still could not figure out why, if God had given me the opportunity that I was preparing for that I didn't take it. I was 19 years old, trying to figure out what God had in store for me, and something had changed. Well, then after 4 years of college at Kentucky Christian College, now Kentucky Christian University, graduating, marrying my beautiful wife, the time came that we needed a full-time position. We lived in the married student housing on campus in Grayson, Kentucky, and Laura was finishing up her student teaching. I had a weekend ministry, and it had just finished up as well. We sent out resumes to a lot of churches looking for someone they needed to fill in their youth ministry position. I got a call from the Bell Center Church of Christ here in Ohio and scheduled an interview with them on a particular Saturday. We were excited about this church's location. It was only about 45 minutes from Laura's parents' house, and we wanted to be closer to home. Well, the Monday prior to that interview on Saturday, Johnny Johnson, the minister at the Dive Christian Church in Bedford, Indiana, called up and said that he had gotten my resume and they would like to schedule an interview. I told him what the plan was coming up this weekend, that I could get a hold of him Monday and we could set something up. Well, he wasn't interested in waiting for me to come see him until after this interview. He asks, "Well, what are you doing Friday before you go to Ohio?" So I scheduled an interview with them on Friday night to go the next morning to the another interview. But he really wanted us to get a look at them. So we've now got scheduled to leave Friday to go to interview in Indiana. Let's see, how does it look on a map? We're down in Kentucky, we're going to go to Indiana, and then we're going to come up over to Ohio. Well, while we're preparing for that big trip, the Washington Church of Christ calls me out of Indiana, and they want to schedule an interview on Sunday. Okay. So I schedule an interview on Sunday. So I got a big, big weekend coming up. We leave Kentucky for Indiana to interview with the Dive Christian Church. We had a really good time meeting with the elders, and we got to meet Johnny and his family, and we're told by them that they would really love for us to come and minister with them at the Dive Christian Church. We leave the interview, and we go back to our hotel, and we're sitting there trying to figure out, wow, well, we really liked what we saw in the church, and I even said something, do we just not leave? We'll just stay here for the weekend. Laura's like, well, we've got the other ones scheduled. We should probably go ahead and go to them and just see what happens. Why are we just about to choose a location that is now 5.5 hours from home when we're looking to get closer to home, 45-minute drive or 5.5-hour drive? So Saturday morning, we get up and we head north here to Ohio. The interview with the Bell Center Church of Christ was another interesting event. They had scheduled a round-robin style interview. So they had three of us come in and different things going on that each of us would go to. And after the interviews were all done, they brought us together and they also extended to me an invitation to come minister with them. So now once again, I'm looking at the decision like mortician or minister. Do I accept the invitation 5.5 hours from home, or do I accept the invitation that's 45 minutes from home? I'm trying to figure out what God has in store for me. Laura and I want to be close to home as we start our family. Oh, I called Washington, Indiana. I said, I'm canceling the interview. We've got other decisions to be working on. So I didn't even go to that one. We call our parents. We ask them to meet us at, everybody be at Laura's home so we can give them an announcement. We get to the house and we tell our parents that we're going to be moving to Bedford, Indiana as I start my new position as a youth minister out there. The parents, they were a little bit disappointed because they knew that we were interviewing so close to home. But Laura and I were very both pleased with this decision. Now, I give you both these stories just to say that God wants us to be content. He wants us to succeed. He hears us when we pray, and boy, did Laura and I pray. She was better at it than I was, I'm sure. But God offered me what I needed, a career path, and God offered me what I wanted. But then the Holy Spirit steps in and prompted me to re-look at what my thoughts were. Laura and I, we needed a full-time position. We want to be close to home. But the Holy Spirit prompted us to do something different than be so close to home. Sometimes when you're following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, things around you might seem surprising. They might even be better than what you had anticipated. Psalms 37 verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." This is a great promise, and this verse invites us to have a deeply intimate relationship with God. As we delight in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. To fully appreciate this promise, we must review the immediate context and unpack its meaning and apply it to our lives. Psalms 37:4 was written by King David as a poetic meditation on the righteousness of God and the fulfillment of his promises. This psalm specifically addresses the struggles faced by the righteous in a world that is dominated by wicked. Verses 1 and 2 say, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." Despite these struggles, David encourages his readers in verse 3 to trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 3. There it is. Trust in the Lord and do good. It is within this context that we find the promise of verse 4 that God will give us the desires of our heart. To understand verse 4's promise, we need to also examine the meaning of delighting in the Lord. The word delight encompasses a profound sense of joy, satisfaction, and contentment. When we delight in the Lord, we seek his presence, we meditate on his word day and night, and we align our will with his. This involves the heart, mind, and soul. When we delight in the Lord, we will experience a radical shift in our desires. In other words, we no longer desire selfish and sinful things. Instead, we will desire the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we desire the same thing God desires for us, our request will be granted. This promise does not imply that God is a cosmic genie who grants every fleeting whim or selfish request. On the contrary, the promise points to a definitive transformation within our heart as we draw close to him. I guess I can say that God places desires in my heart, and when a desire is made through the help of the Holy Spirit and my trusting God's faithfulness, that it would seem I've gotten what I wanted. I've got lots of examples of how I can look back at my life and see where God was really guiding my path. Earlier, I listed all the jobs that I had and wondered, what will I be when I grow up? I really don't know what the definition of all grown up is. I do know that life has its ups and downs. For all of you new graduates, the best advice that I can give you is fully rely on God. He has been watching you over the past 18 years or so, and he wants to help you succeed. The only way you can do that is to give way to your own desires and seek his path for you. My path is not all what I thought it was going to be, but it's been a good path following God. I do trust that God will continue to help me along my way as I continue to grow, and he will help you also. But this help has no time limit on it. The best part about the life God has given all of us is that we do not need to go through it alone. I've told the youth many times that we are a team and we are all working towards the same goal.
God is always there, waiting to give a helping hand in whatever situation we're dealing with. So no matter if you're 18 and just graduated high school, 23 and you're finishing up college, 55 going through a midlife crisis, or even 90 years old, God is always there, and he wants to help us. He's provided a way through the blood of Jesus. The mistakes that we have made, the sins we have committed, Jesus wants to step into our life and make us look as clean as he is. His sacrifice on the cross is an open invitation to everyone, no matter what. This morning, I challenge all of you to evaluate your life. Look and see where Jesus is on your path. He has a good path for you. The path may have good times, it may have bad times, but his path is good. Seek him throughout your whole life. Rely on the people that God has placed in your life today, and God will direct your path. I don't know where everybody stands with their relationship to Jesus today. If there is a decision in your heart that you need to change the way you're going, you need to reach out your hand and take that, what Jesus is offering. Today's the best day to make that choice. Get your life on his path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are with us, that you guide our steps daily. Allow us, as we look at the graduates today, that we will all be willing to help them find their path with you. Allow each and every one of us to look at ourselves, see where we are, and see where you need us to be. We ask that you will just be with us through all the days of our lives. Allow us to know that we are growing in you. Guide and direct our steps. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.